All right, what's up, class? This is Optimus Fields, and we're back for another episode of Bitcoin Kindergarten. We're at block height 692,078, and the current price per Bitcoin is $31,988. And tonight, we got an epic presentation by Skeef. So, Jesper, introduce our guest, please.
All right, tonight we got Skeef, who you might best know as your Royal Highness or Surfer Jim's friend, but he is a certified Bitcoiner. You can follow him on Twitter at Skeef55. That's SKEEF55. Go ahead and give him a follow. And without further ado, let's learn about some Bitcoiners raising sovereign individuals.
All right. Thank you, guys. Yeah. And thank you for the invite. So this... I guess, first of all, just to make sure everybody can hear me okay.
Yeah, we got you, bro.
Good. Okay. So this is a presentation I put together for Underground Citadel in Miami and got, I had high expectations, but got a really, really good response and everything, had a good time. And what went really well there was just a whole bunch of people asking questions and saying what they thought was right, saying what they thought was wrong, you know, anything like that, totally open to, yeah. Absolutely any kind of commentary. And so I titled it Bitcoiners Raising Sovereign Individuals, because that I think is a pretty solid goal and something that I think it definitely resonates with me and I hope resonates with a lot of people. And so just a little bit more background on me. Who am I? Father. So got two little whippersnappers who are 9 and 6 now. And they are a big part of why I'm doing this presentation. Professional-wise, I'm a back-end developer at a Bitcoin company a lot of you probably use. Happy to say which one that is offline. And then definitely a crazy person trying to convince as many Bitcoiners as possible to have as many kids as possible, because I truly believe that's how we build. It's a big part of how we build the world that that all of us want to live in the future. Thought it might be helpful just kind of get my foundational views out of the way right at the beginning, and then, you know, you all can evaluate whether or not, you know, we share a perspective, share a path, or I'm just some crazy person out in left field, which is totally an option on the table. So, number one, children are the greatest example of low time preference decision making humanity has ever known, You know, there's a lot of talk about low time preference and planning for the future in the Bitcoin space. And I just think that kids are, you know, probably the primary way that we enact that, on top of being incredibly enjoyable and fun. And so number two, raising sovereign individuals on Bitcoin and then launching them into the world is how we redeem humanity from the state. It's fiat money. Like I truly believe these kinds of efforts and how we build the next generation and who we put in the next generation is incredibly important. And it's, by definition, unless, you know, these crazy transhumanists are right, you know, we're all going to die someday. And, you know, this is how we kind of extend our principles and our vision past that point. And then raising sovereign individuals who build a new world is one of the greatest blessings we can experience. Have a story in here that I think kind of gives a little bit of an example of what that might look like. But yeah, I just think it's incredibly awesome and enjoyable, and it's a huge blessing that a lot of people I think don't take seriously. So what's my intent? So what I really want to do is provide a positive vision around raising children. There's a lot of what I see is a lot of I don't know. There's just a lot of, I think there's a lot of incorrect fiat views in about children and about raising kids that that are a lot less common in the Bitcoin space, but still definitely there. And so, you know, you always hear just lots of people say things like, you know, my life ended when I have kids, or, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. That stuff really bumps me out. It definitely doesn't have to be that way. And it can be, like I said, incredibly fun and enjoyable. And then also just kind of share my experience and perspective. Definitely not an expert. I mean, when I did this presentation in Miami, there were, you know, probably five families in the first two rows that had been having kids longer than me. And so, yeah, just kind of sort of, yeah, just hoping to kind of share what I've figured out and kind of come to and decided on over the past almost decade, not quite. And then, yeah, just counter some of those fiat narratives around raising children. So that kind of administrative stuff out of the way, that just kind of, so hopefully runs more or less the same playing field. So why do we want to raise sovereign individuals? Now, this is a story that I like. And as you'll see, some of you know who that is probably. And so, you know, just enjoy the story then. So this is a guy named William. He, long story short, made a lot of money trading commodities in Chicago in the 60s and 70s, built this big, huge empire, youngest chairman of the Chicago Board of Trade, just accomplished all this cool stuff. But all of that, I don't care about. You know, a lot of people make money, a lot of people are successful, but very, very, very few people do what he did with that success and with that wealth. So the first thing he did was he had a son named William Jr. or Bill. Now this guy, he basically took the world that his father had helped create. He, you know, inherited the family business. He grew it a bunch. He was also very successful, also made a bunch of money. You know, again, that's not the interesting part. The interesting part is, you know, is what he did with it. And one of the big things he did with it was he, you know, developed a very like deep and thorough understanding of Bitcoin around 2013, and then used that personal family background in finance and success and everything to then provide a foundation for his own son, who this one you'll know for sure. So Jack Mallers' dad. And it's, you know, I included that story because for me, it's, you know, what I want us to be thinking about is how do we become, you know, how do we in some way model, you know, what William created, like that idea of, you know, obviously decades and decades and decades before Bitcoin even exists, he's, you know, he's achieving success and he's, you know, building out his financial future and building out his own sovereignty and his own influence. And he's looking at, you know, I have no idea what the world's going to look like 50 years down the road, but I know that I want to equip, you know, my son and his, you know, and his children and everybody down the road to, you know, to really take advantage of that. And, you know, I look at things like this because especially, you know, there's a relative kind of famous conversation Jack had with his dad where he's, you know, 17, 18, something like that. And they sit down and his dad, you know, basically says, look, here's Bitcoin. Here's how it works. It's changing the world. You know, it's everything we've been looking for, you know, all the stuff that all of us know. And he said, this is our family business. This is what we're going to go into. And that was, you know, a big part of the launching point for Jack and for Strike. And a lot of people look at stuff like that and they see nepotism. And I think those are absolutely broke morons who will probably be losers forever. Because I think this kind of building things across generations is one of the most important and valuable things we can do with our time and resources. So another part of that, how do we raise sovereign individuals? The way I like to think of it is like using Bitcoin to build children a launch pad. So it's like this idea of, you know, what I'm trying to do with my kids is create an environment that empowers them to flourish for the rest of their lives. And so I don't have a set plan of what job they're going to do, where they're going to live, you know, anything like that. What I want to do is figure out how do I help them to become as sovereign as possible? Like, how do I help them to become builders? How do I help them to become, you know, just empowered, you know, badass little world conquerors? And I think that Bitcoin is just an incredibly powerful tool for that. And, you know, everybody here at this point in 2020, you know, we're at $30,000 Bitcoin. That's a rounding error on a rounding error compared to where all this is going. And so I think everybody in the space today is going to come to a point to where they're going to think about, okay, like my material needs are taken care of, you know, in the very near future, if they're not already. And, you know, I really need to think through, you know, what am I building? What am I trying to do with these next few decades that I have here? I think a pile of children is a very valid thing to consider in that effort. So how to erase sovereign individuals. Step zero, opt out of the Soviet training camps. You'll hear people call them public schools. I very much prefer the term Soviet training camp. So this is an environment where kids stand in line, they sit in a row, you know, they eat garbage food, they have a, you know, essentially a government bureaucrat at the front of the room telling them what's true. You know, their kids are taught in that environment that adults are what determine your worth. They grade your papers, they tell you if you're good or not, they give you stars and stickers and all this stuff. And it's totally, in my opinion, totally opposite to the goal of raising little sovereign individuals who don't stand in line, who don't, you know, sit in a desk arbitrarily for 8 hours a day and have autonomy and control over their future. And that, yeah, I think that just making sure that our children are insulated from that and from what the state is trying to accomplish there is very important. So other alternatives, and this is not absolutely not homeschooler, you're terrible. Like there are many, many different models for all different kinds of stuff. Homeschool is what I do for my kids. There's something that's interesting. So I guess do Montessori first. Next time, and actually, I don't know if you guys know Alex LaCrosse on Twitter, but he's the one that turned me onto this, that like a shockingly high percent of Bitcoiners went to Montessori schools growing up, like way higher than the general population. And I think one of the reasons for that is just kind of the nature of a Montessori school. And obviously this is not an overall in-depth, you know, study of Montessori schools, but just kind of the basics of it's an environment designed to be welcoming and safe for children. One really interesting thing is it's mixed age groupings. So traditional public schools, everybody's roughly the same age, you know, within 6-8 months or so. And historically, that's incredibly unnatural. Like it was up until maybe 60, 80 years ago, it was extremely uncommon for children to be around groups their same age. And so, you know, the way it always worked was, you know, it was just everybody of all different ages, and grandma's there and dad's there and uncle's there. And, you know, they're just, that's what humans are accustomed to growing up in. And this idea of putting them in a box for 7 hours with a bunch of kids their own age and a bureaucrat calling the shots is not ideal. And so there's just a lot of stuff about Montessori that promotes independence and promotes, you know, children being critical thinkers and figuring out things for themselves. And it's very much like there aren't tests, there aren't any of that kind of standardized factory type approach to raising kids. See what else we got. So next option, homeschool. Like I said, this is roughly what we do. And so some big advantages there. Parents are able to craft the environment their children learn in. And I think that is super important because, you know, like I've heard people say, oh, I treat all my kids the same. And that just, I don't know. That's just like absolutely, it's like nails on the chalkboard. It gets one of them. I don't know. I think that's a terrible thing to do because so many different kids are so different and their needs are different and what they want out of life and different and their, you know, their aspirations, their inclinations, all that kind of stuff. And so being able to craft the environment that they learn and develop in, I think is super important. Another thing, environment surrounded by people who love them the most. You could send them to the best school in the country with the best teachers And those teachers are not going to love them as much as you will, as much as their parents. And that, I think, is super important. Another element, freedom to be kids. So even if, curriculum program is used. So we use curriculum for some stuff and then don't use curriculum for other stuff. But it's the whole idea is figuring out what they're interested in. Like one little anecdote, my older son's been obsessed with wolves for the past year. And so for his birthday this year, what we did was, you know, we took like 5 days to go out to Colorado and go to a wolf sanctuary and learn about wolves and all these fun facts. And stuff like that is really important to me because A, it's just, you know, it's one-on-one time with him. He and I have a ton of fun and it's just, you know, one of the most enjoyable trips there is. But on top of that, it's like signaling to him, you know, what you value, I value what you value. And, you know, you're interested in this. And what we're going to do is we're going to make a whole trip out of it. We're going to get on an airplane. We're going to go. We're going to, you know, my dad lives out there. So we stayed with his grandpa and got to see everybody. But it's just like really encouraging them and like trying to communicate through actions that, you know, how important that is and how much I value what he values and, you know, that I want him to learn about what he's interested in and just kind of promote that curiosity and enjoy for life and just generally having a bunch of fun versus, yeah, beating it out of them in public school. And that's stuff like that is difficult to impossible to do within a kind of traditional public school environment. And then a big part is parents get to experience and contribute to their children's growth and learning. Like there's no report cards, there's no tests, there's none of that stuff because, you know, you're there on a daily basis. You know that they're not, I mean, where we were in Washington, the public schools were starting to, they had passed some law that they were going to have clinics in the school to where, you know, that have like psychologists and doctors and everything. And then the kids can go to the clinic without any sort of interaction with the parents and the services or, you know, gender counseling, all kinds of different stuff. And there's no concern of that kind of stuff with homeschool. Cause it's like, I'm there every day. We're all our events we're doing together. You know, my kids do jujitsu 4 nights a week. We do, you know, music lessons, all kinds of stuff. And that's all, you know, stuff that we get to do together that I get to watch them do and experience and participate in, which is pretty awesome. So the next level beyond homeschooling, and this is something I've read books about but have not implemented. This is a term called unschooling, which some people may be familiar with. And this, I just forgot. There's a book. Anyway, I can put it in the chat. But if people are more interested in this, but the approach here is, you know, there's no curriculum, there's no that it's basically the focus is on raising and growing children, and you know whatever kind of education that comes with that is part of it, but there's never, okay, we're doing geometry this week or something like that. Like some examples I've seen from people that I know that do this is, you know, they don't get a geometry textbook. They build a really elaborate chicken coop that involves calculating all the different angles. You know, there's just a billion different little things you can do like that. And the more I read about this stuff, the more I like it and see value in it. But as far as like homeschooling versus unschooling, I'm definitely personally on the homeschooling side of the spectrum at this point. And it's basically like all the freedom and everything that homeschool provides, this kind of approach would magnify that. So that book is called Radical Unschooling, if anybody is interested in learning a little bit more about this from somebody who has studied it and practiced it for a couple of decades. So another part, so those are kind of just a few options to consider as far as alternatives to sort of traditional public school. And then the last thing that I kind of wanted to cover was just some of the fiat, what I think of as fiat narratives on children. Because like I said, this is definitely less common in the Bitcoin space. I see a lot of Bitcoiners building families and things like that, which is just wonderful and awesome. But There's definitely people that have views. I guess I just see this stuff come up and stuff that I think is super important. So children are an opportunity, not an obligation. I just see a lot of people, I just see a lot of people view children as obligations, and it's a massive bummer because in my experience, they're incredibly enjoyable and interesting and just fun, beyond all the stuff you're supposed to say about, building the next generation and investing and, all that kind of, that stuff's all true. But it's, I think, what a lot of people overlook or don't appreciate is just the incredible amount of fun that they are. Children are an investment, not an expense. Like I said, anybody in Bitcoin today, buy, hodl, don't trade, don't leverage, all that stuff. Like, anybody that does that is going to have their material needs taken care of, beyond any of our imagination. And so it's like, this, I think, is a huge component of, okay, so what do we do then? Do we all retire, before age 40? That's like, do it if you want to. But I think, I think children are a huge part of how we invest that and how we build a new world. And then the last one, children are a blessing, not a sacrifice. That, kind of same theme as the other two, but I just see a lot of people, like I said, more so in fiat society than in the Bitcoin world, but just viewing children as some kind of angle of time that I just don't think that in my experience that's not the case. And I definitely don't think it has to be the case, because we're able to participate in building the next generation, and we have an opportunity to, unleash a bunch of little humans on the world and to watch what they create and to be a part of that and to hopefully, invest in the next generation, which invests in the next generation, kind of like what the Mallers family did. So those are just kind of a few of my thoughts. Like I said, I'm 100% interested in any questions. If you heard anything that sounds like absolute nonsense, say so. I don't get offended ever, and I'm always interested in discussing any of that. So super interested in anything any of you guys have to say, or agree, disagree, or anything in between.
Skeef, that was awesome, man. People on YouTube are enjoying this. Everyone in the chat is really enjoying this. One question I do have for you. In your opinion, it seems like, or it's kind of a comment, and then I kind of want to ask a question. It seems like homeschooling is a lot better for parents that are more independent, that don't have a traditional 9-to-5 job. What's your opinion on that?
That's definitely true. It's actually had somebody in Miami ask me this. She came up and she said, how do I work a full-time job and homeschool my kids? And what I said is, I have no idea. I don't know how. To me, that does require a full-time commitment from one person. And that, my kind of perspective on this is, this is something that is, totally open to debate. I wouldn't dream of presenting this as gospel, but my kind of perspective is, it's like, I start from the position of the world I want to build for my kids. And then I work backwards from, okay, well, what does my work look like in that context? What does time allocation look like in that context? So that, I think that would be my answer. I have two full-time 9-to-5 jobs and homeschooling. I personally have no idea how to make that work.
Awesome. Well, guys, you guys have any more questions for Skeef? I just asked a YouTube chat, so maybe that we'll get a few more. But maybe people in the class got some questions.
I got a question for you, Skeef. A lot of let's see, I think those are like retiring now, and a lot of them are going into like retirement homes. So I was curious if you think kind of changing the way that we raise children might help inspire like taking care of like older generations, or setting the stage for that.
No, I think one thing that especially Eastern cultures do extremely well is three generations under one roof. You know, I would, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm trying to raise a couple of sovereign individuals, so I would never tell them you have to live with me, you know, past 18 or anything like that. But I would, you know, one of my dreams is definitely to have enough land with, you know, not any kind of insane compound, but a couple of houses and stuff, and have my mom nearby, you know, within 100 yards, have my kids raising their family nearby. Like that, I think would be just amazing. I think we definitely have a lot we can learn from how other cultures do that kind of stuff a lot better than kind of traditional Western American culture.
Awesome. Skeef, we got a question on the YouTube chat. It says, and this is by Tucson Bitcoin, have you seen pushback from the state against homeschooling?
Yes, definitely. There's a lot. It varies by state. Like that was one of the reasons we moved. So it was in Washington until May and then moved to Arizona now. And Arizona has a very nice like baseline kind of libertarian culture, more so than you know, almost any state except for maybe Wyoming or South Dakota or something like that. And so it's a very kind of hands-off approach, which is nice. I definitely see, like there's countries in Europe that are either have just straight up outlawed homeschooled or working on it. And I could definitely see that coming to the US. Like, I personally don't submit any paperwork of any kind for any of this kind of stuff. We just kind of homeschool and keep them off the radar as much as possible.
I got a question.
Shoot it.
How do you explain to your kids when something that the mainstream basically is parroting that is obviously stuff that most Bitcoiners disagree with? Like, how do you walk them through the other perspective and them being ridiculous? Because we're probably the minority.
Yeah. It's a very good question. So I think like a big part of that, like something I try to help them understand is, you know, it's kind of like this idea. And I had some note about it, so I didn't mention, but it's like one of, like just a little bit of back, I'll back up just a little bit. So like this kind of a presentation, like I would only ever be interested in presenting to Bitcoiners because I personally just don't care about the mob. Like to me, 80-90% of the population is completely irrelevant and will always be relevant and have never mattered in history. And I think that's kind of like a baseline. And so I, you know, obviously I have a kid appropriate way of kind of approaching that subject. And I don't just say, hey, you know, 80% of the people you see walking around are morons or anything like that, but just kind of explain to them as and like helping them understand, you know, and easy one is, you know, say masks outside. Yeah. Why don't we wear masks? You know, it's because, you know, we're not going to live in fear and we're not going to let the state tell us how to live our lives, you know, is what it kind of boils down to. And so, like talking them through things like, you know, why is certain forms of authority inherently illegitimate? You know, different. Yeah, I guess the COVID hysteria stuff would probably be the easiest example of kind of taking object lessons and say, why don't we do this? We don't do this because, you know, we're not going to be subservient to the state and we're not going to live our lives in fear. You know, it's like the, I don't know, or like we were, so when COVID first hit, we were still living in Portland like downtown Portland, Oregon. We went to the parks and they had them all, you know, caution tape up because, you know, whatever, some kids swinging on a swing is going to kill grandma or whatever. And so the first thing I did was I tore it down and I threw it in the trash. And I told them we're not going to let a bunch of, you know, a bunch of losers ruin our fun. And so they were, you know, so I tore it down, threw it in the trash, and they went and did the swings and did the slides and all kinds of stuff. And just kind of, I don't know, like I try to, I don't know, I'm not generally a very theoretical or philosophical person in general. Like I try to be as applied and practical as possible. So I, you know, I'm always looking for kind of object lessons to share principles like that. Cause that's, I mean, a 6-year-old is not gonna get, you know, get into the details of, you know, ANCAP philosophy or anything like that. They're just gonna know, oh, we don't live in fear and we're not gonna let some group of idiots, you know, run our life. I can get that. That makes sense.
I have a question.
Yeah, what's that?
Go ahead.
How do you get like proper social interaction with them now? Like with other kids? Like I love the homeschooling, but like I have a 6-month-year-old and whatever. And I just like, I want him to also like, you know, be with everybody else too, you know, have friends and have fun like that. I heard the jujitsu, but I feel like school was a huge part of me and bonding and friendships with that. So
yeah. So for us, it's definitely the activities. So like I said, the jujitsu 4 nights a week is a big one. You know, lots of play dates, like meeting other families at the park. Like there's it's an extremely valid concern because there are certainly people who homeschool who don't do that well. And they raise, you know, a bunch of weirdos who can't talk to girls or whatever. And that's obviously not the goal. And so that I think being, you know, at least in my experience, being very intentional about activities and picking something like jujitsu that attracts really high quality families and kids. The gym that we go to, they do a really good balance of being masculine in a very good way, but also having fun. And so, you know, they're learning arm bars, which if you do that correctly, you break someone's arm. But at the same time, they're also having fun and playing around, and you know, like the coach will joke around with them, but he'll also say, "Hey, get your ass against the wall. We don't play like, you know." It's like if they're acting out or something like that. So it's like a good amount of structure.
That's awesome. No, thank you.
Sure.
We got a few questions in the chat. First one is by Moses in our Discord chat. I'm gonna have to kind of clean this up, but he says, question about introducing kids to technology. Surely to toss them on a smartphone is not the way to go, given YouTube and TikTok shenanigans. Is a DIY and making stuff more of a good idea? Command line for them even before they get to know a browser. What are your thoughts on technology for little kids?
So there's a really good Linux distribution called Edubuntu that's basically Ubuntu. So it's dead simple to use. But it has a bunch of educational stuff built in and games. And so I don't like, and this is probably more personal preference than anything, I don't like touch screens and stuff like that. But they play on the computer. They, like my kids play Minecraft, which is like, you know, it's kind of fun building stuff, but it's, you know, rarely more than, you know, an hour a day. And I mean, Tucson Bitcoin can vouch for this because he's something like that. You know, it's like there's no iPads. There's like when I see families go out to eat and the kids watching an iPad, it's like you have so little time with this wonderful little human and you're throwing them in front of a screen with some of the little time that you do have. I don't get that, you know. And so, you know, mine are coloring in books or we're talking about wolves or whatever it is they want to chat about. I am definitely not a super anti technology. I think, you know, being able to use computers and using tools like Edubuntu and different things like that. And there's different like games that'll take them from, you know, drag and drop to like actually writing, you know, applications and doing real programming work, which is pretty cool.
Epic.
I have a question about that, about gaming. Like, we know that there are a few games, like they're non-violent games where you can earn Bitcoin, right? And the question is, like, do you think it's a good idea to introduce kids to games where they can earn Bitcoin, or you think it will develop into some kind of gambling addiction?
That's a good question. So mine don't play any of those. I don't think I would be opposed to it. They each have a little Lightning wallet that I set up for them. So they've got, you know, maybe, I don't know, not to dox their stash too much, but maybe like $20, $30 worth of sats in there. A big part of like the homeschooling and everything is to kind of, you know, provide structure and provide a foundation, but also let them lead as far as what they're interested in. And so far what I've done with them is, you know, we talk about Bitcoin, you know, they listen to Rabbit Hole Recap with me, things like that. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to tell them, hey, you have to care about Bitcoin at age 9. So far, neither of them has showed too much of an interest in it. I think, you know, when we get a pump later this year, or next year, and they see what their little Lightning wallet did, that might spark a little bit more of an interest. I don't, I, on first pass, I don't think I would be opposed to them playing the games where they can earn a few sats.
Awesome. Skeep Tucson Bitcoin says, your kids are impressive in the YouTube chat.
Appreciate that. They're fun.
We got two questions in the YouTube chat. So one is by Richard, and it says, I'm guessing he's talking about homeschooling, but the question is it mostly online lectures or hands-on tutoring, whether yourself or hired or a blend?
So what we've done is, so for the basic subjects like reading and writing, and then also social studies, because it's really good, we use Ron Paul's curriculum, and that's been really good. So it's like a mix of videos and things for them to read. I am not an expert at teaching reading or anything like that, but both of my kids are big readers. And so, you know, just making sure that they have an endless supply of books from Amazon and the library and everywhere else goes a long way towards them kind of learning about all that kind of stuff. But it's just, I don't know, it's really, I think the main thing is it's really, really cool to watch, you know, where kids go when they're given the freedom and autonomy at an early age. It's just, I think it's good. And so, yeah, as a baseline, I'm not a curriculum. I know people that do a lot of, like, mostly videos, other people that do only books, that I would probably lean more towards the kind of the book, physical paper kind of side of the spectrum over a whole bunch of videos. But at the same time, things like Khan Academy are amazing for math. Like, Khan Academy is a complete, khanacademy.org. It's a completely free website that is, you know, better than a math tutor that you're going to pay $100 an hour for. There's tons of good resources out there.
Epic. We got one last question in our YouTube. This is by Don Reddy. He goes, what do you think about getting together with 3 to 4 families in your area and hiring a good teacher for your kids?
I absolutely love that idea. Paul from Sphinx Chat, Paul, I'm blanking on his last name, but he's the, I'm not sure if he's a CEO, but I know he's one of the people that co-founders of Sphinx Chat. That's what they did. And basically my understanding of what they did was they had, you know, 3 to 5 families, something like that. So you're looking at 10, 15 kids, and the, you know, the parents take turns doing the instructions, and they, you know, will hire a grad student from the local university to come in and do, you know, physics for the older kids, or, you know, like, you know, there will come a day when, you know, my kids maybe are ready to start learning calculus, and that's where I tap out. And so I'll have to come up with something like that. But yeah, I love that idea. And that's what I was hoping to do. Main thing I was hoping to do today is just kind of get people thinking a little bit about it and provide just a tiny, tiny intro on a couple of different options, because there are, you know, there's as many models for this kind of stuff as there are families, and, you know, each family is gonna figure out what exactly works best for them.
All right, epic, dude. Skeef, that was awesome. Guys, if you have any more questions for him in the Discord chat or voice chat, let's ask him now or forever hold your peace.
What color belt are your kids? Oh, sorry.
And one last thing. Thank you, Don, for being a loyal Toxic Airwaves listener. So Tucson Bitcoin and I started a Monday night call-in Bitcoin Shoot the Shit show. And Don has been there every week, which is awesome.
Let's go. Jim, do you have a question?
Just a comment. It's great to build sovereign individuals when they're young, but we have a lot of non-sovereign adults walking around on this planet. We need to educate them. All this information applies to all the lost adults that don't know how they became sheep, don't even know they are sheep. We have to make a lot of sovereign individuals if we want this world fixed.
Yeah, there's a lot of deprogramming to do for sure. And I went to public school all the way through, so I had a lot of deprogramming to do and still do.
Me too, bro. Hobo, I think you had a question, or was that just a troll comment?
No troll, just laugh joke. But what color belt are your kids?
Oh, they're white belts. They're still barely getting started.
That's awesome. I want
maybe a year in
as soon as possible.
It's so good that I was talking about the armbar day, like the guy that runs the gym was coaching that day. And he gives him this whole spiel of we're having fun, but we're also learning how to be dangerous. And he goes, now, if I get a call that one of you used it at school, I'm going to ask two questions. Number one, what did the other kid do to start it? Number two, was their thumb pointing at the ceiling? So like basically was the technique right? And I was just like, hell yeah, like, I love that.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Skeef, how about you show your Twitter one more time, show your podcast one more time, and then we'll wrap this one up.
Sure. So SKEEF55 on Twitter. Just came back after being banned for a few months. And then the Monday night show that Tucson Bitcoin and I do is called Toxic_Airwaves on Twitter. If anybody wants to join and mostly talk shit. It's fun. It's basically we're trying to do like a call-in show. So we have people call in. It's kind of, I don't know. We both like AM talk radio back in the day. So it's kind of like that. And it's 99% just a fun thing to do on Monday nights.
Let's go. How do you stream that? Is it like a Twitter Spaces?
Yes. Yeah. So what we've been using lately is Twitter Spaces. And so he's got the podcast and everything. So he has all the equipment and the know-how to do that. My contribution is to show up and come up with our fake sponsors. So
epic, dude. Well, I'll try to pop in on Monday night.
All right,
guys. Well, Skeef, thank you so much for coming out. I'm sure you got all these Bitcoiners in the chat thinking about making some more babies. And how we're going to raise some sovereign individuals. So thanks for coming out, bro. We appreciate it. We love you. And everyone listening, stick around for Teacher's Lounge. If you're on YouTube, you might need to go find it on our channel. But we'll be right back in a few minutes. Thanks for listening, guys.